in the night. Your heart fills with dread, probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed. You'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinister Who? Well, hello and welcome to another edition of Freaky Friday, where we tell your odd but true stories. It is Friday, April 26th. Last Friday in April, it's gonna be May. Prepare for those memes next week.
I hate it even more now than I used to, because he's a smarmy sack of shit. It's come out. Yeah. So, you know, we can all have May 1st. Sans JT.
Yeah, I prefer the 1st of May, a song by Jonathan Colton, who's the guitar-playing guy that wrote the song for Portal, and his song is 1st of May, 1st of May, outdoor fucking starts today. So if you were not aware of that, today's the day.
I didn't know it was May, so I got ahead of the game. It's a year-round thing over here.
Yeah, they think it's the screams of Petal, but it's not.
God.
In the backyard. Woo. Well, welcome so much to our Freaky Friday. We've got quite a lineup of stories today, several brushes with true crime, and even a brush with a cult for you at the end, which
one that we've covered.
Yes, surprising, but not surprising. You know, it's like shocking that there's such a close connection, but you hear how these people act in person? Spot on.
It's not that shocking. Yeah.
Not shocking at all, but you did send me a link that there's been some more information coming out about the moon that we've got to address on our full moon energy tour
this
summer. Turns out,
every day they learn something new about the moon.
That's why we have a whole tour about it. Because there's plenty to talk about. We don't even cover it all in the stage that we take. And we talk to you about what the moon does, what people think happened during Apollo. We're going to give you all the new scoop on the moon, all the new developments. And it's like a fun live show. If you like the show, you'll love it. And if your friends or family have never listened to our show or seen us on YouTube, they'll love it too. Because we all know what's up with the moon, but we don't know everything.
No, we're going to teach you a lot about it on our full moon energy tour. We're coming back in 2024 with it and with some updates. So even if you saw it last year, it's going to be new. And of course, all the banter and whatnot, who knows what the night will bring. But we are starting out in just a few weeks in St. Louis, in Chicago, Milwaukee, Charlotte, Raleigh, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Toronto, Kansas City, Oklahoma City, San Diego, Phoenix, Las Vegas, and ending in October in our hometown of Dallas.
Oh, I can't wait.
So for all the details, including dates, times, venues, and more, visit sinisterhood.com/liveshows.
Well, you don't have to visit anywhere to hear all these stories we're about to drop for you today. You're in the right place, and you have curated quite a lineup for us today, Christy.
Well, thank you to everyone that sent them in and made my job quite easy. I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get freaky. This first one is from Lindsay, and it is called, I walked to lunch with two boys who murdered a woman 24 hours prior. Hi, Sinisterhood. I want to say a quick thank you for your podcast and keeping my brain entertained. I've always thought I didn't have a story to send in, until I came across an old article and knew I had to share this story. Back in November of 2015, I was 14 in 8th grade. The story involves two boys in my grade, Henry, age 14, and Trigg, age 13, last names being used. It was November 4th, and I was getting my braces taken off after 4 long years. I missed the first half of school for my appointment, and remember being so excited to go to school and let people see my new brace-free smile. I walked into my 4th-hour history class and took my seat. One of my friends turned around to me and said, "Have you heard about Henry and Trigg?" I had not heard about it, so my friend proceeded to explain what the buzz was all about. During the early morning hours of November 1st, a Sunday, she told me that Henry and Trigg left the grocery store a block away from my house and made their way over to the self-service car wash in the adjoining lot, where a 49-year-old woman, Tanya, was washing her car. You might be wondering, why is she washing her car at 2 a.m.? Who knows? Some people are night owls, or that may be the only time they can get things accomplished. Anyway, that's besides the point. Henry and Trigg proceeded to ask the woman for a ride, which she declined to do. The boys didn't accept this answer and proceeded to stab her 49 times at the car wash. They took off with her body in the car and were driving erratically. A police officer, expecting a drunk driver, tried to pull the vehicle over, which led to a car chase. The boys ditched the car and proceeded to run, leaving Tanya's body in the car for police to discover. Security footage from the grocery store was collected and shared in an attempt to identify the boys. They were quickly identified and arrested on November 4th. What really makes my stomach turn with this story is the fact that both of these boys were in my homeroom class, which we attended daily in the middle of the school day. We were always friendly with each other and would typically walk to the lunchroom together. This was the case on Monday, November 2nd. One day after stabbing a woman to death, they came to school, we walked to lunch together, and they were both acting completely normal. It makes me sick knowing I was joking with them about whatever middle schoolers joked about during that time, while I had no idea what had occurred the night before. One of the saddest parts of the story is that the knife that was used as a murder weapon was a small knife that was obtained by one of the boys after they completed Boy Scouts. Yes, they used a Boy Scout's knife to murder a woman. I don't think the Boy Scouts organization would approve of the way that knife was used. I feel so bad for Tanya. She was just cleaning her car, minding her own business, and her life was senselessly taken by the selfish boys who wanted a ride and didn't get what they wanted. In 2019, Henry and Trigg were tried as adults for their actions as young teens. Henry pled guilty to first-degree murder, 2 counts of armed criminal action, robbery, and was sentenced with 2 consecutive life sentences and 50 years in prison. Trigg pled guilty to second-degree murder, first-degree robbery, 2 counts of armed criminal action, and was sentenced with only 15 years in prison. So yeah, that's the story of the time I walked to lunch with 2 boys who had stabbed a woman to death the day before, and I had 0 idea. It gives me the heebie-jeebies just thinking about it. I hope you found this interesting, regardless if it gets shared on a Freaky Friday episode or not. I always look forward to new episodes and crazy stories shared by fellow listeners. All the love and good vibes, Lindsay. I'll include a link to an article here, as well as a photo that shows the before and after of my braces, because it's a pretty crazy difference. Well, before we get to the horrible atrocities committed, Lindsay, your smile looks beautiful. Great. Yeah. And it is such an exciting day when you get to go to school with your braces off and show that brand new smile.
And looking at her sweet face, you know, if that's when her after picture, how young she is and how young 14. all those kids are thinking about being in 8th grade. And yeah, that just a sweet, innocent. You're just so innocent at the time. Like, oh, this is my friends. We're walking to lunch together.
Some of you are innocent.
Yeah.
Some of you are not. My question isn't, why was this woman washing her car at 2 a.m.? My question was, why were these 13 and 14-year-old boys out at a grocery store at 2 a.m. on a Sunday night?
Yeah, they look pretty young, too. And they, the security footage with the link that Lindsay sent us, it shows them they're just out in the – apparently they were wearing pretty – recognizable clothes. It was like jackets that they always wore to school. And so when the young people in the neighborhood were shown the news, saw the pictures, they're like, oh, that's Henry and Trigg, like in 1 second. So that's a good question why they were out there and why it seems like such an escalation to go from like, in the article, it said one of the two had a prior criminal record, but it seems so extreme to just attack somebody this violently and viciously
for so long too.
Yes,
49 stabs is it's and then a car chase with the body. It all escalated very quickly from being a 13-year-old who maybe has a couple of misdemeanors to full-blown first-degree murder and a car chase with police.
Yeah, life sentences certainly. And it's rare to have kids that young, 13, 14, tried it as an adult. But when the circumstances are as egregious as they are here, it's probably why the court decided to do that.
Yeah, just minding your own business and two young boys who you would usually probably think weren't a threat end up taking your life. It's completely senseless. And to be so young and already the rest of your life is spent behind bars.
For nothing, you know, nothing at all. It's absolutely tragic. Well, Lindsay, thanks for sharing that with us. And it's that eerie feeling if you don't know who you're walking down the hall with.
You don't, which leads into our next story from Amanda, and it is called That Time I Hung Out with a Murderer. Hello, you lovely ladies. Amanda here from Raleigh, North Carolina. I love listening to y'all. I started listening in the middle of 2020 while at work at a hospital, walking around the creepy hallways of the operating rooms. Y'all are just the funniest and give off such good vibes. I love how y'all give your raw and real emotions to all of the stories you read and tell. Well, I'm here to tell you the story of how I hung out with the murderer days after he committed the crime. It was 2014. I was hanging out with my boyfriend at the time and his group of friends. I was not a smart 20-year-old, but who is? Anyway, we were hanging out in a backyard, drinking, smoking, the usual, when our friend Greg pulled up. He seemed nervous. His head was on a swivel. I just knew something was up. He pulled a few of the guys over to the side to have a conversation with them. They came back to the group, and everyone looked tense. I didn't want to ask what was going on. I felt this very uneasy feeling, but just kept hanging out with the group. A few hours passed, and I decided to head home. A week later, I got together with the group again. They were all discussing Greg. This was when I found out what he had done and why he was acting the way he was. Greg and another man named Donovan decided to break into a home in the hopes of finding items to steal for money. The home belonged to 78-year-old Arthur Brown in Fuquay, Varina, North Carolina. He was asleep in his bed when they broke into the home. Arthur went to grab his gun, and Donovan shot him twice in his chest. Greg then took Donovan's gun and went to the next bedroom and shot Arthur's roommate and friend, 66-year-old David McCoy, in his face while he was sleeping. There was another man, Kevin, who was the getaway driver. Greg and Donovan were sentenced to life without parole. Kevin was sentenced to 10 years as an accomplice. When I tell y'all, my jaw hit the floor when the guys told me about this. I couldn't believe it. Someone I had known and hung out with for a few years, had full conversations with. Hell, he even taught me how to do a tattoo. They weren't the best group of dudes to hang out with, but they weren't murderers. Or at least so I thought. It still blows my mind when I think about him and what he did. I considered him a homie. I hung out with him just 2 days after he shot an innocent man in the face. It breaks my heart thinking about it. I feel so horrible for those families who have had to deal with losing their loved ones. It was not fair what happened to them. Greg also sent me a message on Facebook while in prison back in 2021, asking me to help him with something. I'm assuming sending him money. I most definitely did not respond. Well, thank you, wonderful ladies, for reading my story. I want the lesson here to be that we don't truly know what a person is capable of. I was friends with someone who ended up committing murder, and it still gets to me to this day. So, watch out and trust your gut. P.S. Here are pics of my doggies to make things happier after this horrible story. You can share the pics because my babies are gorgeous. Black dog is Diva, she's the mama. Mostly gray dog is Boss, he's the dad. And King is the pup of them. Well, they're all beautiful, yeah. What looks to be pit bull mixes. Oh, sweet little pit bull faces. Mm-hmm. They're all very, very sweet. I like how people have begun sending in pictures to be like, and anyways, the story was awful. So here's a palate cleanser, which we love.
We do. It's great for all of us. Yes. But they are beautiful pups. Thanks for sending those to us. And yeah, it's another one of those eerie situations where not just I was friends with this person and they went off and committed some horrible act, but they committed a horrible act and then I interacted with them. And I think it's just because we have perhaps like preconceived notions in our head of how we think someone should behave or would be behaving or whatever. And also just kind of like, you were lying to me, man. Like you had done this huge thing. You took another person's life and we just were kind of having this like kind of weird interaction.
just going about regular old day for them. But yeah, not knowing what has really gone on is super eerie to think like that they were able to just hold on to that information and put on a face that they could even go out in public. Like these two boys even being able mere hours after doing that to show up for school is is just bonkers.
Yeah, there's some psychology behind that, I'm sure, of like you're in shock or denial or thinking, especially if they hadn't been caught yet or whatever, just kind of like, just got to act like everything's normal and maybe it'll all go away, you know, not wanting to accept that like your whole life has changed now, like you're done.
There's a sense of probably denial and shock, of not really grasping what's happened, but then it all starts to sink in, and that's when you show up at your friend's backyard hangout time and I guess tell them all what you've done. If they all came back looking like something horrible's happened, or you at least say like, we're in some shit and I don't know, we need help or whatever. But it's, again, such a senseless act. You are just trying to get something to sell for money, and you take two innocent older men's lives who are just doing nothing but sleeping.
Yeah, in such a brutal way. And like you said, they were just defenseless, essentially, just because being older and, you know,
trying it sounds to defend like himself.
Trying to. When they sneak up on you in the night,
It's really heart-wrenching to think of those things that happen every day. Just these, you're just... 1 second, your life is how it is, and within a blink of an eye, like, your life is over, and your family's life is completely shattered.
Absolutely, yeah, and that's, well, thanks for sharing this, Amanda, because it's that ripple effect of crime, we say. It's like the immediate victims, and then their family, and then extended out from there, just shockwaves, and it kind of shakes your trust in people.
Oh, sure, yeah, and... Yeah. You still remember it many, many years later to send it to us. So definitely makes an impact on more people than we all think it would at the time.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for sending that one in. And thank you for the sweet pup pics. They are precious. And to have three doggies, all of pretty much that size, I can barely handle one. So yeah, Godspeed. But they look very snuggly and cozy. So maybe they're all just
cuddle bugs. You know,
big old softies, big old teddy bears.
Sinisterhood will be right back.
Well, this next one is from Jess, and it is called Catfish Cryptid, Ghost, Killer, or Alien. Jess writes, "Hello, ladies. My name is Jess, she, her pronouns. I love your show, and I've been listening since the early days. Y'all have gotten me through some really tough times over the years, from dealing from working in healthcare during the pandemic to the passing of my father from lung cancer last summer. Thank you for giving me a reason to laugh on the days that it seemed almost impossible to smile. Now let's get into it. I grew up in Gainesville, Georgia, and lived on Lake Lanier for most of my childhood. Yes, that Lake Lanier. A little history on Lake Lanier. The lake was created in 1956 by flooding valley communities, including the abandoned town of Oscarville, a once thriving predominantly black town. In 1912, after the tragic assault and murder of a white woman, three black men from Oscarville were accused of the act after a coerced confession and later on lynched. This created racial tension between the adjacent white community and the citizens of Oscarville. One night, the majority of the black community was violently chased out of town by an angry white mob. Many of the Oscarville residents lost their lives. This displaced 250 families and caused the abandonment of 15 businesses, 6 churches, and 20 cemeteries. Many say remnants of the town can be found underneath the murky waters, including many of the gravesites. This, along with other stories, perpetuated the rumor that the lake was haunted. Growing up, I heard many stories about the lake being haunted and of tragic accidents that had occurred there. My mother once told me about a story of a rescue diver she knew that went on a body recovery mission of a poor soul that had driven off a bridge a day earlier. He got down to the side of the car, and he said the window of the car was open, and inside was a giant catfish feasting on the corpse of the driver. Fucking yikes. Despite all the horrifying stories, we regularly went swimming in the lake during the hot Georgia summer days. I should preface my story by saying that I am somewhat of a skeptic when it comes to the supernatural. But between the constant threats of demons from my very Pentecostal grandmother to my mother's affinity for scaring small children, especially her own, I've always been convinced that someday I'm gonna get got by a ghostie for not being a true believer. One hot summer day when I was around 7 or 8, my family decided that we should beat the heat and go swimming in the lake. At first, I was in the lake with my older brother and cousin, splashing around and having a great time. I'm not a great swimmer, so I didn't really venture into the water that was over my head. So usually I ended up bobbing alone while everyone else was swimming in the super deep parts of the lake. So there I was, minding my own business, when suddenly something grabbed my ankle and pulled me under the water. I popped back up to the surface, filled with fear and panic from potentially drowning, and proceeded to yell at my brother, who I was sure had pulled me under as a joke. But there was one problem. He was on the shore, nowhere near me, with the rest of my family. I looked all around, thinking there had to be some sicko playing a horrible trick on a poor, defenseless child, but nobody was there. I quickly got out of the water and told my mom about what had happened, and she kind of laughed it off and blamed it on that monster catfish. Over the years, I've shared that story with many people, and most have just brushed it off as some wild made-up childhood story. But after that day, I never went more than ankle deep into that lake, and now you couldn't pay me enough to stick even a toe into that water. Over the years, every summer, there would be several deaths reported in that lake. In fact, over 200 since 1994, with many of the bodies never being recovered. I thought that was normal for a lake, and so I started hearing some of my favorite podcasts doing stories on the notoriously haunted Lake Lanier. There's even a movie based on the lake that I've been too afraid to watch. It was quite shocking to find out that the lake I had played in many times as a kid was actually unique in its own creepy way, and has become a popular subject among people all over the United States, and possibly even the world. Now let's fast forward to a few weeks ago. I was home alone, doom scrolling on my phone, and decided to put on a new Netflix show called Files of the Unexplained, as some background noise. And what do you know, they had an episode about Lake Lanier. I thought, this should be interesting. So I turned it on and went back to my scrolling. The show opened with a young woman talking about a day where she had been swimming in the lake. I wasn't really paying too much attention until I heard the words, "Something grabbed my ankle and pulled me under." I immediately stopped scrolling, paused the show, and with full body chills, exclaimed loudly, "What the fuck did I just hear?" Pretty sure I scared my poor cat Walter with my yelling. I rewound the show, and sure enough, I heard what I thought I'd heard. The woman continued her story, and a few seconds later, as she was saying that she thought no one would believe her, she followed it up with, "I found out it was pretty common for other people to feel like they're being pulled under." Pretty sure if Walter could speak, he would say that he saw all the color drain out of my face and my eyes protruding out of my skull. Needless to say, I stopped scrolling on my phone and paid real close attention to the rest of the show. I've never heard anyone else tell a story like mine, and as I got older, I had somewhat convinced myself that maybe the event had just been some weird fever dream or something. It's been a few weeks now, and I can't stop thinking about that show and my own horrifying experience. Now I have proof that I'm not alone, and my story is possibly just one of many. So what do you think, ladies? Was I one of the many victims of some sort of giant Nessie-like catfish cryptid? Did I actually get got by the underwater spirit of one of the people who have tragically lost their lives there? Did I escape a sadistic scuba-diving serial killer? Or, hear me out, Christy, was it a failed underwater alien abduction? Either way, I will never go back in those waters again. I've attached a pic of my adorably goofy kitten Walter as a palate cleanser to this nightmare of a story. Thank you so much for sharing my story and the stories of many other people who have been Freaky Friday'd. Keep it creepy and do not go swimming in Lake Lanier.
You better keep that sweet Walter out of Lake Lanier.
Little Walter, so sweet. Beautiful coloring. And he looked shocked like, Mom, are you telling that story again about when you got pulled over in Lake Lanier? Funny enough, Heather and I just watched this episode the other night. And when I started reading this, I was like, oh, I wonder if this is the girl from the show. And then I realized it's not, but I'm glad that you felt so seen. Like we talk about with even our stories, it makes people feel like they're not the only ones out there that experience this. You're not crazy. It did happen.
For sure, especially at a place like Lake Lanier where you're probably one of hundreds, if not thousands of people. And that's not to discount what happened to you of like, you're just another person that got pulled under. It's just like, no, you're right. You probably did get pulled under by something.
And what is doing it? Who knows? But I don't need to find out. I'm good.
I don't want to meet a big giant catfish. To me, it's like a cartoon. It looks like, in my head, it looks like it's off of SpongeBob. Just a big old thing that's like, give me them ankles. And I don't want
to
that.
To me, it I picture in my head the fish from Big Fish, which was a giant freaking catfish.
Yeah, but
even if a giant catfish is down there, that's enough to keep me out of the lake. I don't like shit swimming around me that I can't see. But I certainly, knowing what we know about the history of it and like in the show, it shows like when the water is down, how stuff that's down there that's normally covered comes up. And it is. It's buildings. It's, you know, full trees. Like they really did just flood a town.
Yeah. And it is eerie to kind of be partying above that, knowing that that's kind of this long history, though I'm sure the folks that want to turn it into a destination are like, yeah, forget that it used to be a town. But I'm glad with this push, and maybe that's been spurred on by the paranormal claims, but there's a push towards the real history of Lake Lanier and like not forgetting what happened at Oscarsville and stuff like that. So thank you for writing this story in, and you're not the only one, but that's for people who don't live in the South or who have never been to Georgia in the summertime. You're like, why would you ever get in that lake? It's really hot down there.
So
I can, while I say I wouldn't do it, I might. If I lived there, I might have to swim there.
Oh, I think I would. I'd go sit in my bathtub in ice cold water maybe before I get into this lake, because I love being near lakes. Mm-hmm. But when I get in lakes, especially when you can't touch, or water's at high enough for things to be swimming around, and if the water's murky and you don't know what's down there, my mind just goes to all the worst places. And it sounds like I might not be too far off. I don't know what is making people feel like they get pulled under, whether it's a strong current.
Or like something's growing, algae? Like the tops of trees or something from the bottom. I don't
know. Or it's some kind of ghostly figure down there that's just like, I'll drag you down here too. I don't know. Whatever it is, it would keep me out of there for sure. I totally get not wanting to even put a toe back in there now.
No, not at all. The last time I went to Lake Ray Hubbard and swam there, which has been probably 5 or 6 years, I had an inner tube that had a net in the bottom of it. Mm-hmm. So I could kind of almost like sit and stay in it, and I felt safe. And then like everybody was swimming and we're like, don't you want to like jump out and swim with us? And I was like, I'm fine in my little net tube. And I just kind of sat like, you know, crisscross applesauce in this little tube and just kind of like floated around in it, because I was like, I feel safe. Granted, it was a net. If a giant catfish cryptid wanted to come up and bite me through it, it could have. But it gave me some, whether false or not, sense of security. I know like flesh-eating amoebas could probably still get through there, but it made me feel better.
That would make me feel better too. I'd get in a lake like that. And I'll probably get in lakes this summer, but I'll be thinking about this. So
I'll be thinking about, if a catfish is going to grab me, I hope it looks like Walter. I'll say that.
Yes. We've gotten so many sweet animal pics. So thank you so much. And Walter, you look like just the best boy with your little bow tie on.
So, so sweet. Well, thank you, Jess. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back. This next one is from Jules, and the subject line is a witch in the swamp and an alligator or two. In a content warning, there's a brief mention of murder-suicide. Hey, ladies, I'm Jules, and I've absolutely loved your podcast for years now. I started listening while in the midst of an unhappy relationship in a city I didn't want to live in anymore, and am now back where I belong, young, single, and free. So thanks for being there every step of the way. Your own stories and life lessons are so encouraging, and it's been really fun listening to your life updates and stories year over year. Now, on to my tale. Right after the worst of the pandemic, I was depressed and needed a change, relatable to many, I'm sure. I figured a shift in scenery would help and packed my life up from a big city down to Augusta, Georgia, to live with my sister and her then partner. We had a great time settling me in, and I began to enjoy everything the city had to offer, including, most importantly, Finnessy Swamp. I know y'all are Southerners, and to some extent are probably more used to the swamp biome than I was at this time, but boy, was I taken by this nature preserve. Finnessy is repurposed farmland turned dump site right by the Augusta Airport, and is a certified bird preserve, along with hosting lizards, snakes, turtles, coyotes, and my favorite, alligators. I had never seen them before moving down there, and after my first hike in that swamp, I was obsessed. As soon as I could, I began volunteering after work. I work remotely, so this was easy, and got to know more about the land and its funky history. Finnessy Swamp has worn a lot of different hats in its day. Like I said, it was once farmland, but also hosted what was then called an asylum, probably not the right term nowadays, where the patients worked the grounds as they took residence. Then it was a dump, and for a particularly unfortunate amount of time, was used by criminals in a prostitution/sex trafficking ring. Finally, the city took it over again, and it became a nature preserve. And that's condensing years of history into one measly paragraph. But that's all to say, the energy is weird. And as someone who's always been very connected to the outdoors, I try, not to sound too woo-woo, but I try to listen to what it has to tell me. So most of my evenings in Augusta were spent in the woods, whether I was giving guided hikes or simply taking my own solo walks. It was on one of these solo walks where I encountered an unexplainable situation, one I still reflect on today. There is a bit of a dusty old playground area where children can romp around on Finnessy's main campus before you enter the real swamp. And directly away from that playground is a smaller pond, still very much full of alligators. I need to note, the swamp has never had an incident with alligator attacks, but instead, human issues. The aforementioned trafficking, a plane crash, a nearby murder-suicide of mother and children that took place a year to the day I got there, the works. The swamp is beautiful, but it carries heavy history, and that's not even mentioning the suspected native burial mounds far into the property. I was reflecting on the swamp's strange history, trying to commit it to memory, when I heard a strange noise. Chanting, maybe? I was close to the pond right outside the playground, emerging from the woods myself, so I took a moment to pause and listen. The voice was gravelly, breaking, with voice cracks and almost a panic in it. Ladies, I will admit, I am nosy. Instead of deciding this wasn't my business, I crept slowly toward the noise, and when I broke the trees, I saw what I just can't quite comprehend. The pond has a small boardwalk area, lined with barriers to keep anyone from jumping in or dipping their toes in. It's higher than my waist and is fairly sizable. As well as keeping people out of the water, it keeps the bigger animals in. But what I saw was a barefoot woman in a long black dress standing on top of the barrier. Her arms waved over the water, which, for some reason, was churning angrily underneath her. Her voice maintained the level of intensity and panic I had heard before, and in an attempt to make sense of what I was seeing, my first thought was, someone has fallen in the water and she can't get them out. But there was no sign of another person in the water, no screaming or crying, just the woman's chant and the ever-growing splash, splash, splash of muddy swamp water beneath her. She swayed and shook, and in a bit of silent panic, I walked backwards, eyes on her, but feet aiming for the playground. A twig snapped beneath my feet. Silence filled every crevice of that park in the moment. Any activity had been sucked out like air from a lung. She slowly turned to face me, with vacant eyes. I genuinely wondered what she would say, what she could do, now that she knew I'd been spying. But, at a snail's pace, she crept off the boardwalk area to the dirt path in her bare feet and shuffled past me. The energy wasn't evil or nefarious, but I felt a sense of intensity about her. I didn't want to speak as she walked by for fear of what she might say. She continued to take all the noise with her. Whatever had been churning in that water was gone. I must stress, she wasn't touching the water. She was leering feet above it. I don't know what was in there. To this day, I don't know what she was doing or looking at, or what was dancing below her in the waters of Finizzi. I snapped a quick photo of her as she walked away, because I knew no one would believe this weird tale of a witch in the woods otherwise. She's far off in the distance, below a tree, but even looking at the pic, I'm reminded of how painfully aware of me she was, and the way I was holding my breath. I swear I don't usually take pics of strangers, but something was up with her. Come to find out, Augusta has a yearly gathering for pagan and Wicca enthusiasts, so maybe she was a part of that. I'm in full support of anyone who wants to dive into that practice, but if that's what she was doing, something was enthusiastically responding in the water, and I just don't know what else could be big enough to make those splashes beyond another person, or perhaps a gator. This one's a bit long-winded, but I wanted to give you a peek into the quirky town I spent a year or so in, and their mission to keep it creepy. Keep being you, ladies. You're a shining light to many. And then we have an image, and definitely shows somebody out in the distance. Doesn't disappoint.
It's yeah, the angle of everything is creepy. I can tell that you were trying to do a sneaky pick, but it is a woman standing far off with a long black dress on.
Yeah.
Who, see, either was feeding a gator, which probably you're not supposed to do.
Yeah, please don't do that.
They don't like people feeding the animals and people getting associated with food to the animals.
You don't want them to get comfortable.
She was doing some kind of spell and churning up some sort of potion.
Yeah, I like that Jules is like, listen, if you're that's what you're doing, go for it, because you're doing great. Because whatever you were chanting over, it was responding back to you. So yeah, must have been effective.
You know what you're doing.
Yeah, now, sorry to interrupt.
Over there throwing shit to a gator. Yeah. Don't do that.
No,
especially
don't
especially standing up on the edge. You're seconds away from being its own dinner.
No, it's like a megalodon moment where it jumps up out of the water and just like gets you. Yeah,
gators are fast and they can jump. I'm glad that you like gators so much, Jules, because there's a lot of them down there and they are scary animals, but I am also like fascinated by them. And I love watching shows where people are interacting with them and especially in the wild and stuff. But I was looking at pictures of this swamp and it's beautiful. So to have that where you can just so easily go and do walks and guided tours, that's amazing. I hope that it gave you what you were looking for because, yeah, so many of us were looking for an escape, a change of scenery in those first few months. So I'm glad that you got one.
Yeah, that's definitely a change of scenery, especially the history it's had. That's wild. But
yeah,
I love whenever it's like, we have this piece of land, we can turn it into something green and beautiful that hopefully everybody can enjoy and appreciate. And a place not for a these dump. Animals. Yeah, not a dump or something horrible. Dump. Yeah.
Or even worse. Yeah, but it's beautiful. And yes, keep it that way. What do we think about her not saying anything? I guess, what do you say? You're like, not Jess, the woman. Or yes. I guess you're like, sorry, I was talking conjuring. To Bruno, my pet gator that lives here. Or she's like, still in spell mode and, you know.
Maybe. Or it's like, listen, I was conjuring something. Okay, don't rat me. It's like, I think it's one of those when you see each other in the woods, it's like, you do your thing. I'm going to do my thing. And nobody's going to bother anybody. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no questions asked. But that is wild. Yeah, I'm glad you found you a good swamp, Jules. I hope you have a beautiful green place to go to now if you don't live there anymore.
Yeah, we don't really have swamps here as much in the South. We certainly have areas where a gator could be.
Oh, yeah, and squishy stuff, but nothing like when I lived in Louisiana. Yeah, that's swampy.
Yeah, that's real straight up swamp. Yeah.
Super swamp, but we have nature preserves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll keep our eyes peeled for anyone conjuring anything up out of it or any gators.
By that, probably me.
I thought you were saying it's probably a Nutria that runs out.
No, I'm going to go down to White Rock and conjure something in the...
Hell yeah.
I'm not going to conjure a Nutria.
No, conjure them something. Somewhere else.
Yeah. Some good vibes is what I'll conjure out of that lake.
That's the best. Well, thank you very much, Jules. Sinisterhood will be right back. This next one is from Amy, and the subject line is, "My old classmate was caught with his pants down at a park." Hello, ladies. I love your podcast. I have a short but odd story to tell you today. All names have been changed, but I included some links for you to peruse. You can call me Amy. I, a mid-20s female, grew up in a small town in New England, which we'll call Stars Hollow. Growing up, I knew my entire grade, but this is about a guy I'll call Steve. Steve was your typical guy and fell into slightly above average levels of popularity, sports, and intelligence. A class clown type. We were never friends, but even after high school, I heard little details about him through the grapevine. By the time this story started, we were all 23. I was having lunch with my high school friend Jane when she told me she had some interesting news to tell me. She pulled out her phone and showed me a news article titled, "Stars Hollow Man Arrested for Lewd Act in Pawnee." It was about Steve. He had been caught pleasuring himself in a park in the next state over. It was night, but near a walking path and playground. Someone saw him, called it in, and he was still there when the cops came. He was booked with public lewdness, a Class B misdemeanor. I believe he just had to pay a fine, which is kind of wild to me. It's not like you accidentally masturbate in a park in the same way you would accidentally run a stop sign. He lucked out that it was night and no children were around, or I imagine the story could have gone differently. It became a topic around town, and soon lots of people were talking about it. I saw another high school friend the same week, Michael, and showed him the article too. He had done sports and hung out with Steve, so he had an even closer connection than I did. We were both shocked. Fast forward a year, and Michael and I, and our significant others and a few other friends, were out at a brewery in town for trivia night. When you go out in your hometown, you almost expect to see people you know, and today was no different. As we were sitting there chatting, who walked up to our table to deliver our food but Steve? I went through all the emotions in a flash, recognizing a classmate, seeing a classmate I wouldn't normally talk to, and knowing this classmate as one who committed an odd crime that everyone knows about, but obviously you can't say anything. I had a bit of a shocked look on my face and glanced at Michael, who glanced back with an equally shocked face. Think of that gif of Andy in Parks and Rec when he's excited, but the horrified version. Steve instantly clocked this look as he looked at me and Michael and said, "Hi, Michael. Hi, Amy," in an overtly cheery voice, kind of like he knew exactly what we were thinking. He always had this shit-eating grin persona to him, and today was no exception. We both politely said hi and chatted briefly, but the tension was clear. Honestly, looking back, I do feel bad for how we reacted in the moment. When he left, our significant others looked at us and asked, "What was that?" They both knew the story about Steve, so we whispered to him, "That's the guy who pleasured himself in a park." They were shocked as well. At this point, our other friends had noticed us all whispering, so they were also filled in. I'm still a bit surprised that he selected such a public job in our town. Our area is very populated with a lot of restaurants and nearby towns. So why would you pick a job in downtown Stars Hollow after doing that crime? Lots of people knew about the crime, especially around our age. To end the story, I want to share a few small details slash thoughts I had. Firstly, Steve lucked out. He has a very common first and last name, so the story doesn't come up right away when you Google it. You'd have to type in Stephen Jacobs Stars Hollow to get the results. So maybe future jobs, dates, or friends won't find it. Secondly, what possesses someone to do this? Is it some kind of kink or public humiliation similar to an old-timey flasher? Is this one of those hidden-in-plain-sight perverts? Has he done it before or since and not been caught? Steve's parents still lived in town, as did slash does he, so he had a home. It's not like he couldn't do this private act at home or that he was unhoused. Thirdly, it was such an odd place to do it. While he could have been drunk or high, the area he was in wasn't super close to anything, so you can't excuse it as a bad night at a bar and he wandered away. This was a secluded park. He had to go to the park with intention. He even drove half an hour to do it. Hopefully, this is the only story about Steve I'll have to write in, and he learned his lesson. Keep up the good work, ladies.
Well, four links were included. I just looked at all of them, and I would say I don't think that he has that common of a name.
Yeah.
And if I was – I'm not going to say his name, but yes. If I – met this man and was like, I'm going to Google him because we're about to start dating. I feel like you could probably find it out easier than Amy, maybe you think. I don't know. But
yeah,
it was 7:15. So when he had to drive six. He left it.
He drove in rush hour to go jack off somewhere in the park.
He left dinner to go jerk off in the park.
Well,
and 7:15, I think it said it was December. So it's probably dark or getting dark at least, but it's not like it's pitch black dark.
No, uh-uh. I think the only thing, you're right, that's dusk. You're jacking it at dusk, and that's not the same thing as like the dead of night. That's mm-hmm. dicey to jack it at dusk in public, at least. You can do it in your house, whatever, I don't care. But Amy,
any time of day.
To Amy's point, if you just type in Steve Jacobs, it doesn't come up. But if you type in Steven, so if you type out the longer version of his name okay. and last name, it's like the second one down. All that is to say, a PSA to all of you listening, that if you're trying to do some like recon on somebody, don't just type in Steve, just type in their full name that goes the whole thing. And that way that might help pull up some articles that they might otherwise want buried in their SEO.
It's as far as your question of why, I don't know. I think yeah. some people do. It is a kink. It's just like, you know, I mean, especially like you said, it's not like you just happen to be there and you're like, well, the mood kind of struck me. I mean, he drove to this place to probably do that. So I don't know. You want to be out in nature, but. You sure aren't supposed to do that by a playground.
No.
And it is weird. He just got a fine, especially with it being so close to like a playground, because that's kind of like being near a school, right?
Yeah, I think it should be counted the same. Maybe it's not like as far as zoning, but to me, that's like a lewd act within X amount of feet of where you expect kids will be, even though they mm-hmm. weren't there at the time. Yeah, it's I can never explain it. I think kink is probably part of it. Maybe he drove out there to meet with somebody and they... You know, they no-showed, and so he was, like, all excited and bummed that they didn't show up, and to consolation, I don't know.
Maybe. Why wouldn't you go back into,
like, I'm not going to drive all the way area. Home.
But see, that's why I think if you're doing it where, like, people can see you, that's where it kind of, to me, I think they're not worried about getting seen, and perhaps they want to be seen.
Yeah. And like you said, part of it. Then it's non-consensual. The rest of us are all part of your kink, and we did not agree to be part of your kink. But I knew a girl that worked in the district attorney's office, and one of her early cases that she had to take to trial was a gentleman that had strung up some lights and some toys. And
I remember you telling me.
Yes. And he enjoyed himself in the woods in a fairly conservative nearby county.
Yeah.
And it's
in a tree, wasn't it?
Well, it was attached to a tree and he was kind of bumping up against it in a certain way.
Yeah.
But that's Exhibit A. You've got to pull that out of a box right in front of the jury.
Yeah.
But
it was
it's like the woods were a part of it, you know, from what I recall.
Yeah.
It's like he couldn't do that at his house. I'm like, dude, at least get you a big old stockade fence and do it in your backyard where nobody can see you.
Yeah. It's against the law to just go out and do that on public property or private unless it's yours. But
yeah,
so if that's your thing, I guess you got to start planting a tree in your backyard,
your own
and
tree,
build a privacy fence
because the bottom tree. Yeah.
Don't go out there and sully the good nature preserves that we're all trying to walk around.
No, it's a nice park for everyone to use and not in that way.
No.
So, I mean, y'all felt bad at the time, but I don't know. Maybe people like that should be shamed a little bit because don't do it again.
Dang, though. Imagine the awkwardness.
Kill me.
God, it makes me want to popple myself just thinking about it. God, you're sitting there. Because who's it more awkward?
Just fully.
There's Popple. There's my buddy. Yeah. I feel like the little I know about this guy, I feel like Amy and Michael I feel like Amy and Michael were probably more embarrassed than him, just from the little I know about this guy, because it seems like he didn't really care. And also, if you're going to stay in the city where it happened and it is a small town, everybody knows. I mean, there are four links that very clearly are like, at 7:10 p.m. in this lewd area, act. This man was arrested and names him by full name, age, for masturbation. Like, everybody knows.
Yeah. But I wonder if he's like,
can't move, or maybe you're just like, fuck it. Yeah, I did it. I did
it. Yeah, he's trying to
own
it.
We all know. Everybody shut up. And now I'm working at Bennigan, so shut the fuck up. Yeah, this is like, what happened.
You guys are here for trivia night? Here's a trivia question. What has two thumbs and got arrested for jacking off recently a town over? This guy. Now, would you like any more shrimp shooters or extreme fajitas?
And they're like, no.
Thank you.
And sorry. Everyone else at the table is like, what the fuck is happening right now?
They're not loving it. Godspeed to you, Amy, and your friend group. But you're right. I hope that's the last story you write about him and there's no other acts like that. Because leave our parks alone, sir.
Isn't that weird, though? Like, people you went to high school with and then you find out something like that and you're like, that guy? The popular class clown? And then you're like, damn, what else was he doing that we didn't know about?
Right? It's a eerie thought. You think you know somebody, but you don't know shit until you find him pants down in a park.
Maybe he and Swamp Lady, I don't know. There might be some connection there. Maybe
she was conjuring a mate, and he's like, I've been called, but they just met at the wrong swamp.
Oh, man, he was in the wrong park. He didn't call this time. He didn't get the call clear enough.
Tale as old as time. Well, thank you, Amy. Sinisterhood will be right back. Well, this last one is from Nikki, and the subject line is, I was Jeff and Shalaya's massage therapist.
I'm going to mute myself so y'all don't hear me gagging. The thought of having to touch this man.
Yeah.
Your saint, Nikki.
You're a saint. Well, Nikki writes, I love you guys. Thank you for all that you do. I knew I had to write in after y'all covered Twin Flames Universe because I was Jeff and Shalaya's massage therapist throughout her pregnancy. They both saw me once a week for months and stopped once the baby was born. A few months later, the documentaries dropped and I could not pick my jaw up off the ground. Massage is a pretty intimate thing, and some people tend to share a lot. Shalaya was certainly one of those people. I worked on her for a few months before I met Jeff, and I was pretty thrown off when I finally did, because she expressed him in a very different light. She told me all about meeting Jeff in Hawaii, how she tried to break up with him because he was younger than her, and she didn't think he was serious about a future, marriage, kids, etc. He responded to that, saying, "You have no idea who I am and what my goals are. I most certainly want those things." They were joined at the hip ever since. She expressed to me how he enlightened her to the trauma she had endured with her family and, quote, motivated her to completely cut ties with them. Watching her dad on the Netflix doc broke my heart, and it made more sense of why she never went into more detail when she did with everything else. Shalaya talked about how she was the headstrong one in the relationship and overall wore the pants, so to speak. So I was shocked to see how he treats her in real life, and in retrospect, seems like a subconscious trauma response. Not justifying her role in this at all, it just makes you think what level of grooming has gone on. When I did finally meet Jeff, I immediately felt off about him. His energy was very intense, and he made this eye contact that felt very controlling, for lack of a better word. In hindsight, I think he was sussing my vulnerability. During one of my and Shalaya sessions, she told me of a pregnancy dream she had about me finally meeting my twin flame. She described how he looked, what his personality was, and that I would meet him in the next few months, and that I brought him to her to introduce them. For months, she never explained what she and Jeff did. But after that session, she sent me links to their services. I, of course, never even opened the link. Ironically, I did meet my person 2 months later, but that's just a coincidence we like to laugh about. The last time I saw Jeff, we were chatting a bit after our session, and he asked, "So, tell me your philosophy behind your work." I've been a massage therapist for 10 years, so I have a very detailed and intentional response to this question. It quickly turned into this weird interaction where any of my responses weren't good enough, and he kept pressing me to go deeper. He finally said, "Well, think about it, and maybe you'll have a better answer the next time I see you." I was shaking by the time he left. I remember thinking that no one has ever made me feel like that in my place of healing throughout my career, and it gave me hella anxiety thinking about working on him again. Thank God she went into labor. I haven't heard from them since then, and I certainly would not feel ethical working on them ever again. The northern Michigan town I'm from is very turned off by them, and they're going forth with buying a huge plot of land. I think it's like 70 acres. We all can predict what they're planning on doing with that land. I just can't shake the thought of, isn't this illegal? How can we stop this? My hope is for future reformation in the way cults are protected through religion laws. It's extremely dynamic and deep, but a girl can wish. I think the way y'all have exposed other cults and honor their victims is a significant step in the right direction. So, thank you again. I'm planning on sending my astral projection experience, but that requires a very specific mindset because it's a lot. Talk soon. Big, big love, Nikki.
Fucking hate him.
Yikes.
God. Maybe you'll have a better answer next time I talk to you. Bitch, she's been doing this for 10 years.
I will
break. Don't you try and get in her head and brainwash her when she's trying to massage you.
I'm going to take this massage table like WWE and break it over your ass if you talk to me like that. She's going to
body slam you into this.
But that audacity to have that intense eye contact, this shocks me 0%, Nikki. To be like, I'm going to intimidate her in my place of business. And also, it just shows you how weaselly and wormy they are, that they would spend a lot of time and then like, hey, I had a dream about you where you met your twin flame and it was so beautiful. Anyway, do you want to join our group for only $500 for 20 minutes or whatever? Like, they lure you in to be like, do you want me to tell you more about your twin? You can just pay this money.
I'm kind of surprised it was a few months in. I thought she would have tried just after a week or so, but
that's how good of a massage therapist Nikki Zinchele is. Like, we can't pitch her too soon or she's not going to let me be a client anymore.
She's like, she's really helping my sciatica.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that she had the baby and then all the documentaries came out. I didn't realize that was the timeline.
I'd have to go back and look. I didn't either, but I think by the time we were covering them, they did have a baby, but was only a couple months old. But yeah.
And that's a shame because we all remember the disgusting things that he said about the baby, how she wasn't going to be able to have sex ever except with God, and they were going to choose everything for her. And
yikes.
Yeah, it was all a bunch of just gross nonsense, but
terrible.
Massage is an intimate thing. And this is why I don't think I could ever be a massage therapist, because Jeff Ion would walk into my clinic and I'd be like, get the fuck out. There's something like, about you. Let me just
take my credential.
I'm not going to touch you.
Take my credential off the wall. Shh. Just rip it in half. I'm not a massage therapist anymore. I don't work
not
here.
Not anymore.
It's not my office. Sorry, sir. We're closed permanently forever. Yeah, that's a real professional, Nikki, to be able to touch.
Yes, you're monsters. Great. And
truly
good for you for not taking the bait and letting him trying to strong arm you into giving some kind of answer that wasn't authentic to you or act like he knows better about your job. But again, it shows that like they're always scheming.
Yes.
Like every interaction they have with someone, it's just like an end to get them into the Twin Flames universe. It's like, can't I just be a massage therapist for you? I don't want to join your bullshit.
Yes, I don't want to be your live-in massage therapist who is paying you to take your classes while I also am giving you massage therapy for free.
Or you trade them. They get into a tradesy situation.
Nah, I'm not doing that. Fuck you, pay me. I hope you got paid, Nikki. If you got paid so good.
Yes.
For your town, I mean, it's a real cautionary tale. Now that we've closed the book on Synanon, I've just had so many, like, I'll just be driving and I'll flash and I was like, Twin Flames was doing Synanon game sessions on Zoom. Like, that's what Twin Flames was.
Oh,
it was,
yeah.
Like, it was, they were all ganging up on one person and getting people to jump in. They were doing carom shots, like, where it go, right, Judy? Didn't you hear what I just said to Becca? Like, that's full Chuck Dieterich 101. And the same thing with, like, all the fucking land they bought in Northern California. And now Jeff and Schley are trying to do the same thing in Michigan. It's if they start buying large quantities of guns, keep. I mean, he already says that he has them.
Yeah.
I mean, he's posted about them and everything. So if they all shave their heads and start wearing overalls, just check your mailbox before you stick your hand in it.
Right.
So, not you particularly, Nikki. I just mean everyone in general.
But for it is upsetting to live in that town, and like you're like, this just keeps getting out of hand, and it is. I agree, Nikki. Like, I don't understand how it can go on when we're all like, but isn't this illegal? How can we stop this? And I think it is like bills are going to have to be changed and laws passed to where there's just different sets of standards that they're held to, and that they can't get away with being a religion when
they're making not, all this money.
Even if it's just like they don't even claim to be a religion. If it's an MLM scheme where they're scamming people out of money and it's dangerous and detrimental to people's mental health, I think honestly a lot of it of why they're not shut down sooner or at all is because so much of it is centered around damaging people's mental health, and that's just not an area that's focused on.
Yeah.
And that's just one of the many reasons that like we need more attention and funds to helping the mental health care industry, because shit like this, just like they're like, well, I mean, they're not like, you know, they're not setting fire to anything. They're not shooting people. Yeah, but they're like brainwashing people and trying to get people to change their how they identify and stuff. Yeah. Like, this isn't right.
Yeah, that's a good point, because if you had a robust public mental health system where if somebody was struggling, they could go into a place and be given legitimate options, they would not be stuck Googling, which then puts them at the vulnerability of targeted ads, which then puts things like Twin Flames Universe in front of their face and gets them sucked right into it. You know what? Like I said, it's just, it's Chuck Diederich 2.0. And you know, Chuck would have been so stoked on Facebook ads like Jeff Ion is. Like, it's just that same idea of like, I'm going to run this like a business and make all and make this business. And then, oh, by the way, I'm also a church, because I just I just said I'm a church. So the having the baby does freak me out, because you worry if that starts to imply there will be more children. And we all saw with Synanon what happened to the children.
Yeah. Yeah. And just knowing that there's even one kid that has those two idiots as parents is upsetting.
It's extremely upsetting. At least she knows, you know, J.D. Diederich Montgomery is out there. You know, somebody that can relate of like, what do you do when your dad's a cult leader and you get raised in a cult? She can relate.
Yeah. And hopefully, I mean, at some age, if hopefully you have access to like outsiders or the internet and you can kind of start figuring things out on your own. But if you're like shielded from all of that, it sucks. And that's when you got to have a authorities of something step in to help those people.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we'll keep our eyes peeled of what the divines are up to in the next few months or years, and how their 70-acre compound is coming in Upper Michigan. Sorry to the Michiganders that have to deal with that. For real.
We need.
It's scary. When a group like that takes over your town, it truly is scary.
Oh, for sure.
Like, Profundity Years, Synanon, any of that.
The one in Texas.
Yeah, yeah.
Profundity Years? Yes, that was. Yeah, I mean, those small towns, it's kind of like what we were saying with even cops and like Murder Mountain. Like, at some point you're like, we're outnumbered. So we're just like in survival mode right now. And what do you do? I really don't have an answer, but
I don't know.
You're in Michigan. I know it's not Detroit, but Violent J and Shaggy 2 Dope seem like pretty good guys.
Call them.
Mike, call them up. I feel like they could help.
Someone posted in the Patreon Facebook group today, because we did that. For those of you who don't know, we did the vilification of the Juggalos, the criminalization of the Juggalos when the FBI declared them a gang. And so someone posted that apparently ICP clown makeup makes it so that facial recognition technology doesn't work on you. It distorts your face such that like that true crime headlines we covered on Patreon, where that guy was like out of the state and some weird facial recognition glitch said that he robbed the store, and he didn't, because he was literally out of the state. Like, if only the person who did the crime probably would have had to wear the ICP, but that type of facial recognition software, it cannot recognize the face of the Juggalo. So that's our answer.
Also be for clowns?
Yeah, maybe it means that it can't catch clowns either.
I mean, anything where you've got like
facial features distorted?
Yeah, like the coloring or something just doesn't allow it, or it makes your
Ronald McDonald's incognito. He can go anywhere.
They all are. Oh, gosh.
Oh, Bozo is right behind you.
Oh, man.
Well, Nikki. Well, bless you for writing us in. Bless everybody in Michigan for withstanding the divines. And bless everybody that wrote their Freaky Friday today.
Yes. Thank you all so much for sending in your stories. If you have an odd but true story, maybe you've encountered Bigfoot, you've seen a UFO, you had a brush with true crime, or you felt the presence of an otherworldly being, send them in at sinisterhood.com/Freaky Friday. And if you like our free episodes, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next. We also release an archival bonus content once a month for free members, or you can dive into over 800 hours of bonus content, like the mini-sode that we were just talking about with the Juggalos and the FBI. Also,
this week, we have a new bonus content coming out that's Unpopular Opinions. We get into some millennial Gen X, like old internet, old music kind of conversations. It's super fun. Takes a weird, perverse turn at the end. It's great. It's a good time. You'll love it. And if you were like, I don't know, I might want to listen to that weird thing just to see how it ends. But I don't know if I want to, you know, pull my wallet out yet. Well, that's okay. We have a free trial, so you can join for free for a week to check out all the perks. And if you cancel anytime before the trial is over, you won't get charged. So you can hop on, binge stuff, learn about the Juggalos, and cancel before the trial's up. Or if you want to stick around, you will get so many perks. Tell them what they get, Christy.
Oh, goodness. You get ad-free episodes, both on the regular episodes and the ones that are filmed on YouTube. We drop those early and ad-free, too. You get monthly live stream Q&As, quarterly live bonus content. We just did one last night, so that'll be going up soon. You can listen to just the audio, or you can also watch the video. Weekly audio bonus content, monthly mini-sodes, merch discounts. Depending on the tier, you can get 10 to 20% off of merch. And most importantly, the community of the best listeners on the whole internet.
That is accurate. And our BOCO live stream last night was proof of that when we had a follow-up from one of our previous bonus contents, which is a rowdy couple in this person's neighborhood, and we made contact, and it was incredible.
Twice now, Heather and I have impacted this man's life, who we have never met and probably will never meet, but he is aware of us in several ways now. And, oh, man, I was like, did that just happen? Did he really hear us? There was a live. The McFuckersons were doing their thing. And Stephanie came in hot with that phone, and we just cranked up the mics, and I'm pretty sure we made contact.
We made contact. If you don't know what we're talking about, go do that free trial for a week on Patreon. Join at the highest tier so you can go back and listen to the McFuckerson Judge Christie, the update of the McFuckerson Judge Christie, and then watch live as we make contact with the McFuckersons on our live stream from last night. Maybe we can get Tommy to make a compilation post to make all the links but there, you can try it with a free trial over at Patreon. And if you want to use that merch discount, head over to sinisterhood.com, click shop on the top banner, and check out merch like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos. We got the cute Believe and Be Kind Flatwoods Monster shirt for the kids with a matching one for adults, so match your little one this summer. And we also have tank tops on there, water bottles, stuff for it's getting hot out there, and you can work out with Sinisterhood. You can also grab some stuff on our merch clearance sale as well. There's a handful of stuff left over there, and it's deeply discounted. Plus, you can use your merch discount. So go get you a deal.
While you're on our website, you can also review the show. We make it super simple to give us a review. We love ones that have 5 stars. You can follow us on socials and check out the episode description. And you'll also find fun things like topic-based playlists and links to live show tickets. So all those full moon energy stops, go sinisterhood.com/live shows for information and tickets on that.
We will see you on the road. You can follow us on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Check out full video versions of our Wednesday episodes, as well as a story a week over on YouTube. Those drop early and ad-free on Patreon, though. And head over to our TikTok page before it's banned, baby. TikTok's going down, but we aren't.
I refuse to believe it.
No, I don't think it'll be fine. But you can follow us on TikTok. We're going to go live at the Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum. So follow us on there. We'll make a post on there to let y'all know before, and then we'll go live. And if you want to
ghost hunt this Sunday,
live at the ghost hunt. Yeah, if you're listening to this Friday, April 26th, tune into our TikTok sometime between 9 p.m. and 5 a.m. Sunday night into Monday, and we're going to go live from the Trans-Allegheny.
We can make a post maybe an hour before we're thinking about doing it.
Yes.
Or something to give people a heads up.
Yes. Well, but if you just subscribe to us, it'll just start and you'll get an alert. So
you just have
to subscribe. So you don't have to wait around.
There you go.
But it'll be fun. We don't know what creepy crawly things will bring you. And if you want a video, a custom video shout out from us or from any of the menagerie that we've got going on here in the studio, Corn Skull, McGruff, any of that, go to cameo.com, search Sinisterhood, and order your custom video shout out today. Christy, where are you at on the internet?
I am on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace, and I'm on TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather, where are you?
On the internet at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy.